And U.S. forces are now within 6 miles of Baghdad. Here's what we know.
In Baghdad itself, the lights are out. The first widespread power outage of the war has plunged the capital into darkness. U.S. military officials said they did not target the city's power grid, prompting speculation that Iraqi officials may have pulled the plug themselves.
Forward elements of the Army's 3rd Infantry have reached Saddam International Airport. They encountered only light Iraqi resistance, but U.S. commanders say the entire airport facility is not yet under their control.
U.S. armed forces are in control of several key access points to Baghdad. The 3rd Infantry has overrun Iraqi positions close to the capital in coordination with heavy artillery and combat air support. NPR's Eric Westervelt is with the 3rd Infantry near Baghdad, and here's his report.
After a night of relentless artillery fire, the combat brigades of the 3rd Infantry Division moved north and east, overrunning Iraqi defense forces around the Shiite city of Karbala. The unit NPR was traveling with, Charlie Rock of the 315th Mechanized Infantry, came upon some Iraqi soldiers, armored personnel carriers, and artillery pieces hidden in and around a grove of palm trees right near a mosque on the outskirts of Karbala. After a long maneuver around Karbala, with only a brief pause for refueling, Armor Battalion 164 moved fast across the Euphrates, some 14 miles southwest of Baghdad. The roadways from Karbala to the outskirts of Baghdad were lined with sandbag-topped Iraqi foxholes, burning destroyed cars, and dead Iraqi soldiers and militia fighters. Once near the city, Task Force 164 blocked key highway points south of Baghdad, allowing no one in or out. But Brian Barnello, the sergeant major for Task Force 164, says brigade commanders saw an opportunity to keep pressing the Iraqis.
We've moved into their backyard, so to speak, so fast. We've got them dispersing. They're trying to mount little counterattacks. They're very ineffective. The brigade commander from where he sits, he's got 3 maneuver battalions or task force. Now he's seizing opportunities. He's seizing opportunities to go after them while they're disjointed. I think they've just totally lost command and control of their units. And now they're running away.
Several armored companies gave chase to flush out any Iraqi tanks and personnel carriers south of Baghdad. The U.S. unit swept into a small town when they almost got mired in what the U.S. says it wants to avoid most, close-quarter urban fighting. Major Mike Donovan was in his tank, nicknamed Rogue Warrior.
But we had such a tough going in that little cruddy town, that's little dirty streets and narrow alleys, that, and the fact that we ran into all those regular army troops on the east side, probably like 50 to 100 of them. We didn't know they were there. But we wanted to get to the south side of the town. We never actually got to the south side of the town until the very end. And then we said, oh, let's get back before it gets dark and get through this town and find that road out. And that's when our lead element found these tanks hidden in the shops, in the alleys, next to the mosque, everywhere. They could not be seen from the air.
Using armor-piercing rounds of depleted uranium, U.S. armor overwhelmed the Iraqi tanks and troop carriers. Lieutenant Colonel Eric Schwartz says the Iraqis seemed a little stunned by the combat speed and power of U.S. forces.
The shock effect. We just engaged 7 T-72s, knocked them out instantly. Just went up against 2 BMPs, first round kills. Pretty lethal. It's a pretty big surprise for anybody who hasn't seen that before.
Some of the uniforms of the dead Iraqi soldiers and the small number of troops taken prisoner showed the red triangular patch of the Medina Division of the elite Republican Guard. The Task Force Intelligence Officer, Captain Jason Connolly, says the Iraqis' 14th and 10th Divisions are now combat ineffective, and the Medina is probably now just a quarter of its original power. Some of the Medina's vehicles the task force came upon today, Connolly points out, were abandoned, which could signal the unraveling of the division.
So it looks like now that some of them are starting to walk away from their vehicles and just kind of walk away from it. When it's easier now with their command and control destroyed. Before, they had the special security officers who would kind of enforce their will to fight, so to speak. And now, with the losses, these guys, it's easier for these guys to sneak off. One of the EPWs we got today mentioned that specifically, that it was easier now to walk away because of that.
With Baghdad increasingly encircled by U.S. armored forces and the U.S. continuing to control airspace over Iraq, commanders here hope today's quick maneuver means the end of Saddam Hussein's regime is closer than ever. But the troops here also know how fiercely the Iraqis have fought so far. And at nightfall, as their tanks drove back up the highway to a secured area, the task force encountered a small sign of that stubborn resistance. A lone Iraqi soldier was taking shots at the column of Bradleys and tanks. That sniper was killed, but he's not likely to be the last one. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, with the 3rd Infantry Division's Armored Task Force 164, near Baghdad.